3.
Welcome, everyone. It's the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. And we're going to be having a lot of fun today. I have with me a communications and lifestyle coach that's in New York City, Jani Moon. Jani, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Davis. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you as my lovely guest host today. So how have you been, Jani? Okay?
I am good.
How are you doing?
I am suffering from a little cold. It just decided to get cold in New York.
I know. It's like down to like 12 degrees this morning here in the beautiful Philadelphia area as well.
Yeah.
Very chilly.
It finally decided to be winter.
I know. Well, you know, I got to tell you, one of the things that plastic surgeons love to talk about is trends that are happening in plastic surgery. Because, you know, just like with fashion and everything else, there are trends that happen. You know, like if you have a pair of pants or a dress that used to be in, you know, style, and all of a sudden you start walking around Manhattan, let's say, because you're right in the heart of everything, and you start to notice that people's pants are like not bell bottoms anymore. They're like narrow, and they're almost like, you know, what we would call floods in the past. They're starting to get more like that. You go, you know what, maybe I have to update my wardrobe. Well, similarly, in plastic surgery, there always seems to be these trends. What do you think about that, Jani?
I would love to hear what these trends are as a 40-year-old woman living in New York City who used to So bring them on, please.
Okay, well, here's, you know, from the plastic surgery world, from the plastic surgery community, here's the thing. It's actually become a very interesting phenomenon where everyone's talking about getting their bottoms, their butts, made larger and more rounded and bigger, and having their breasts made perkier and smaller. And it's fascinating because just a few years ago, I would say very few people were really that focused on, let's say, the J-Lo butt or that, you know, that larger area in the back. And recently, the Brazilian butt lift, Jani, was the number one procedure in plastic surgery in the United States this past year.
I cannot believe that. Thank you, Kim Kardashian. I think everyone is looking at her bottom as the inspiration.
It's incredible. I'll have an office hour where at least, let's say, five out of the, I don't know how many people come in during an office hour, will show me on their phone Nicki Minaj, Kim Kardashian, and show me various photos of people that's who they want to look like. It's incredible.
What do you think the psychological implication is of this? Why have a big butt? I don't get it.
Well, you know,
appealing. It doesn't appeal to me.
You know, what I tend to glean, if you will, from the entire discussion, because I'm just as fascinated about talking to the patients about these trends as you would be. I think it's really about reshaping their body, because when I really, you know, investigate that photo that they're bringing in on their cell phone and I'm looking at it with them, here's what I see: a really narrow waist and a really larger behind. That's really the contrast that they're looking for. You know what I'm saying? It's more about like the contrast than just, let's say, having a really large butt. And I think that's where everybody's going towards things like liposuctioning, cool sculpting, body contouring type procedures that kind of allow us to reshape the body and give people that really knocked out great look that they're going for. And the other trend is getting their breasts to be made perkier, smaller. You know the young lady that's the star of Modern Family?
Yes.
She recently had a breast reduction surgery in 2015. And
really?
I think that trend in, I saw that again in my practice, I saw the exact same thing, which is patients don't want to be small chested, but they're not going for large breast implants like they used to years ago. They may be using the breast implants, which is still a very popular operation, but it's being used to basically give more shape and more of a lift and more of a, I guess, a perky quality than to just have really large breasts.
Who's setting the standards for this? Like, is it these few actresses that are leading the way of these trends, and all these women are saying, I want to look like her?
You know, I tend to think it really is, because, you know, back when, you know, Baywatch and Pamela Anderson was the hot person to really be talking about, she had larger breasts, people would come in and, like, bring me photos of Pamela Anderson. You know what I mean? So I think you're right. I think that there really is a sense of who's really popular, who's really hot in the media, who's really hot in movies, TV, stuff like that, and go from there with, like, where the trend is going to be set.
But how dangerous is that? Because actresses go in and out of popularity, and so do their body types.
I know. And I think part of it not only being dangerous, I think it's also understanding that it's not that easy to just change, you know, your look, as, you know, surgically, or, you know, overall body shaping, as it is to, let's say, I got to change my wardrobe. Oh, you know what?
Right.
The trend is to have, you know, tighter pants, you know, straight leg versus bell bottoms or something. I can just go and get some new pants. This is a little different. You know, it's more about, you know, most of the time it would require some sort of a surgical procedure. And, you know, that is, you're now talking about something that could be a little bit scarier.
And as far as this, the butt lift, what does that entail? I have no idea.
Yeah, well, here it is. Yeah, you know what? There's three different things that we talk about with patients when we talk about Brazilian butt lifts or butt lifts or anything to do with enhancing that area. The first is, how tight is that skin? If the skin of your butt is kind of like the lower abdominal skin on some patients, where, you know, you may have had a couple of pregnancies, you may have lost a lot of weight. If the skin back there really needs to be tucked or really needs to, you know, be taken away, it may incorporate some removal of some skin. If that butt needs to be reshaped, we may have to decide, do we put an implant in there, or can we, and this is what most people have been doing, liposuction an area of your body where you don't want that fat to be, and then transfer it to the area where you do want it to be, like your butt. So the perfect scenario would be someone that comes in to have their abdomen and love handles reshaped. We collect that fat, and simultaneously at the same sitting, we use that fat to build up the bottom. And now we've got this Brazilian butt lift that just looks fabulous. And that's really the two parts of everything that goes into this. Reshaping it with either fat or an implant, and then deciding, how's that skin look? Do we have to take away some of that skin, or can we just add it more volume?
Wow. That's,
yeah, it's fun.
Involved.
It is. But I'll tell you something, Johnny. It is a lot of fun. It's a very, very fun operation, and the patients absolutely love it. You want me to tell you something else?
Yes.
For about a week or so, you got to stay off your butt. So these patients literally walk around. They don't sit as much as they can possibly stay off their butt. They are, like, standing, leaning, laying on their abdomen, you know, anything they could possibly do, because the more you compress that area, the less fat will ultimately take, because it is like a transplant. It's very exciting. It's kind of like when we do hair transplantation. It's the same kind of a concept. We're kind of robbing it from one area to pay Peter in another area, if you will, like robbing Peter to pay Paul type of a thing. So it is a fascinating, you know, section, if you will, of plastic surgery. But, you know, talking about the trends, it is in 2015, what we saw was a reduction in the size of the breasts and an increase in the size of the butts. And, you know, we can even go into who some of these stars and people are that, you know, I guess people highlight as being trend setters. When we get back and talk about a little bit more stuff. So, everyone, you are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and I have my lovely guest host with me today, Jannie Moon. We'll be back right after these words. Everyone, you are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. If you'd like to join us, we're at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255, and I have my lovely guest host from New York City, Jannie Moon, with us today. How you doing there, Jannie? All right? Okay, well, while we're waiting for Jannie to come back on the phone, I got to talk to you about something else. So, you know, the last segment we were talking about trends in plastic surgery. And one of the interesting trends of 2015 was the return of Adele. And everybody is nuts about Adele. And she's fantastic, and she has just the most fabulous, fabulous voice. But she recently came out in an article talking about how she's not a plastic surgery person. Like, she wants to be, as she said it, she wants to be true to herself. She said she wants everyone to kind of embrace who she is as a singer and as a person. And it shouldn't really have anything to do with exactly how she looks. So I just thought it was an interesting comment about her wanting to be true to herself. And to me, that's really what plastic surgery is really all about. It's so funny how things get skewed to think that people are having plastic surgery to be somebody that they're not. Jannie, you know what I'm talking about?
I can see both sides of it. I can see how some people are born in a body that doesn't feel like their own, and they want the plastic surgery to be, to feel like themselves. Like Caitlyn Jenner. She needed plastic surgery to be more herself. Where Adele is saying the opposite. To feel more like herself is to feel in her bigger, voluptuous body.
But you know what's funny, though? Like, she had a child, and then she went on a weight loss program so that she would feel in better shape. She would feel healthier, I think, is how she actually put it. And, you know, in the best scenario about plastic surgery, if I could be so bold as to, like, come out and talk about this in a sense that I'm, like, speaking for the whole plastic surgery community, it really is all about that. It's so funny because nowadays, Jannie, and for everyone out there listening, honest, this is what people say. People come in and say they want to be a better version of themselves. They want to be like as good as they could be because they know that they're doing everything, let's say, outside of plastic surgery, if you will. They're eating healthier. They're getting to the gym. They're doing the things that they can control. But when they look in the mirror sometimes, they don't recognize that person because internally they really feel that they're like this spry, like youthful, energetic person, and then when they pick their head up and look in the mirror, it ain't there. So I think when Adele says she wants to be true to herself, I honest to God believe that that's the truth. And I think when people are seeking help in plastic surgery at a very mentally stable, you know, level, we're not talking about mental illness, we're talking about somebody that's really coming to use plastic surgery for the right reasons, I think that's at the heart of what everyone's talking about.
Right. You're basically saying every individual woman or man needs to do what feels right for him or her. For it's your body. So
it's true. And I think, you know, if we're going to use plastic surgery in this day and age as a positive, that's the way I would go with this. Jenny, we have Jacob on the line. Hello, Jacob. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Just fine. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, I see the pictures of Adele, and I think she still looks like herself, as you were saying.
Absolutely.
I don't see any, like, real, like, she just looks more, I can't explain it, but she does look different, but it's not this major, like we were talking about Bruce Jenner, you know.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think you're more right about this. I was wondering, how does this plastic surgery, what does it do to the capillaries in your body? And I've
That's a good question, Jacob.
Bioprinting of arteries and stuff. How could that all fit together to make it work better?
Wow. So that's a great question. So let me take it at the simplest level, okay? Depending on the area of the body that you're trying to correct or make better or alter, there are different things that are going to happen with the vascular supply. Because that's really what you're talking about, is arterial, capillary, venous, all those things that are having to do with the vascular supply to an area. So let me give you an example. When we're going to do a rhinoplasty or a nose job on someone, we have to evaluate the overall support that nose has to begin with, because if we're trying to make a nose smaller, we have to assess what's the structural support that's going to be left so that it's still a functioning, you know, unit on your body. When we're thinking about a breast augmentation and someone that comes in to want to have very large, let's say, breast implants placed, we have to assess the overall architecture, if you will, and the space that really can be utilized in order to be able to give that person the result that they're going for. And as a plastic surgeon that's really trying to do the right thing by these patients, Jacob, you do want to assess mm-hmm. all those areas so that they're really getting the proper thing without any complications. So just like you're talking about, it's very true. And that's probably why somebody like an Adele would say, you know what, I don't want to take on any additional risk if I don't have
right.
to. This is kind of the way I look. Now, she had throat surgery, Jacob, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that was in her mind more of a functional need of something that needed to be done in order to continue with her career. Well, I can make an argument, Jacob, and tell you that there are some fitness models, bikini models, just fashion models that would say in order for them to continue with their career, they have to get a breast augmentation. I have two patients right now in my practice. Jenny, you may be very interested in hearing this. I have two patients in my practice right now that are fitness models, and they both tell me that they're losing competitions because they don't have a large enough breast anymore. They lost so much
wow.
body fat. They lost so much body fat getting into shape that they really don't have a good sized breast anymore. So it's something that, you know, we're going to get back to and talk about. Jacob, thank you so much for being on the call. We are going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and we will return just after these words. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. If you'd like to join us, we're at 866-606-8255. And we also have, as our celebrity guest host, Jannie Moon, communications and lifestyle coach. How you doing there, Jannie?
Doing great. That was very interesting topic around Adele.
I thought it was pretty interesting. You know, it's so funny, Jannie, that the whole stigmata of having plastic surgery really seems to have changed almost like in 180 degree. Because, you know, I can remember when you would be watching Johnny Carson or you'd be watching a show in maybe even the 90s, and all of a sudden a celebrity would come out on, you know, a talk show and you go, oh my God, they look different. They look so, you know, either sometimes they didn't even look better. They just looked different. And you go, what the hell is going on? And they really wouldn't like share with anyone that they had it done. And even if they were probed, they may lie about it or really not talk about it. Well, when things like Botox, which came out in like 2002, started to hit the scenes, people could honestly say they didn't go under the knife, they didn't really have any surgery, but they started to get these, you know, non-surgical procedures done that could really make them look different, that could make changes that could be done at a lunchtime. And, you know, as an example of this, Jannie, Iggy Azalea, I'm sure everybody listening kind of knows, singer, has come out and said, you know what? I got a nose job and I also got breast implants. There you go. I think she spoke to like a fashion magazine or something like that recently. And she literally came out and said, you know what? I'm not really in any way not proud of it. This is exactly what I wanted to do. I went to see a reputable guy. I've always wanted my nose to look a little bit better shaped. And I always wanted to have larger breasts. So there you go. I went and had it done and here's how I look. And she looks great. You know, you have Kylie Jenner that basically came out and really said, listen, I go to this Beverly Hills plastic surgeon that's injecting my lips. That's all I had done, but I love the way my lips look after they get plumped up. He does a great job. There you go. The girl that I mentioned before, that Arielle Winter from Modern Family, I think it was an interview that she gave in Glamour magazine or one of those magazines, and she said, yep, I wanted to get a breast reduction. And it's just interesting that nowadays that whole stigmata of, you know, is plastic surgery a good thing, a bad thing? It's an honest thing. And I think this goes back to our discussion about Adele. You know, in her mind, you know, being her true self was kind of avoiding the plastic surgery thing. I think for a lot of these people that want to highlight certain features of themselves or really have always wanted to be have a certain look, they're, you know, using plastic surgery to go in that direction. And again, you have to go to a reputable person. You have to really understand what's going to happen. But Jannie, what do you think about that?
I think you done such an important part that now more than ever, plastic surgery is not seen as a bad thing. Botox has totally revolutionized the way we look at plastic surgery if done well and
correct.
Look natural. If it's natural, you see a lot of people get a lot of slack for it, like Nicole Kidman's lips.
Yes.
If people, you know, when these stars take it a little bit too much, then they get the backlash of the media saying that they're over the top, it's too much. I think the key is to make it natural.
I think, I mean, again, I'm speaking for the plastic surgery community, I guess, because I got this radio show, so I can do that. But I do think at the heart of most plastic surgeons, that's really what we're aiming for. And I think trying to, you know, give patients their options. So, Jenny, let me share with you a little something. So I had a 21-year-old girl and her mom come to the office yesterday. Beautiful kid in college. And she wasn't happy about her thighs. And despite being very athletic and exercising and being on sports teams and everything else, she felt that her thighs were just too thunderous. They were just too big and they needed to be pared down. Now, as a plastic surgeon who, you know, again, I really think that I'm the guy that's trying to do the best all the time for my patient, I explained to her and her mom, which didn't go over initially very well, that she had a very immature appearance still. Like if someone asked me how old she was, I would have thought she was about 14 or 15. So to me, a lot of that, you know, thigh fat, if you will, is kind of still the baby fat. And over the course of the next few years, as she starts to become more of a woman and her hormones and things start to change, there's a very high likelihood that a lot of that fat's just going to burn off. So as, you know, a good plastic surgeon, which I'm saying most of us are, I said, why don't you come back and see me in like a year or so? Why don't you, do all the things that you're doing, because you could tell she's in shape and she's doing. It's just that's the way her body makeup is right now. I don't think that that's a surgical type thing. Now, the discussion, kind of escalated and elevated to like, well, what if she's really, really that upset about it? Is there something you could do sooner? And I said, personally, I would say I don't want to do anything, but I said you probably will if you continue to search for a plastic surgeon that'll do it.
Right.
You may find somebody, unfortunately, that may end up doing it for you. Now, there are some non-surgical approaches that I highlighted for them, like cool sculpting, which is a way of freezing the fat non-surgically, and it actually kills fat cells in a given area. So you could do it to a thigh, you could do it to, a waist, you could do it to places like that. And I said, that's an option. But I said, just, try to keep in mind what I'm saying, which is, this is a young kid. So I think, if you're trying to, Jenny, I guess what I'm saying is if you're taking that as an example and you're, extrapolating that into anything, that's basically what, when you're going to see a plastic surgeon, you should be, discussing what bothers you and then try to really listen to all the options that are available. You know what I mean?
Well, what I'm hearing, Dr. Davis, is you're responsible as a patient to find a good plastic surgeon like yourself that acts from a place of integrity and cares enough about the patient and not about the paycheck.
Exactly. And I think in the long haul, almost in every, and I would say this again, almost for every business, someone who's really in it for the long haul understands that their reputation and their business is going to be something that's for the long haul, for the distant future. You're trying to set up your culture so that this is how you're going to hold yourself in the community, and you're hopefully going to someone that has been established in the community as someone who is very reputable, that's really going to, listen to what people are asking for. And I don't know, I get very, very passionate about this whole thing because
I can tell, that's great.
I know, because you know what? I really and truly believe that you and I, Jenny, can talk a little bit about this even in the next segment that's going to be coming up. But I mean, just the tight connection that there is between image, plastic surgery, mental health, all of those things. Like, how do people see their self-image? How do they see themselves so that, because you're like, you're a lifestyle coach. You know what I mean? You're somebody that deals with these, people all the time. And I do feel that plastic plays such a tight integral part in that whole thing if used properly.
Absolutely. You can change. I know several women friends that it's changed their lives.
Yeah. See, and those are the things that, you know, I always love talking about. And, well, we're going to be coming back with one final segment. Everyone, you're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. And we will return after these words. You're listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution, and I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and I'm with Jani Moon today. We're having a great time talking about everything to do with plastic surgery. Jani, how you doing?
Wonderful. I'm learning so much. I now know what procedures to do and not do.
Well,
I'm 40, so.
Well, let me tell you, I saw pictures of you, Jani, and I've seen you. I don't think you really need anything at all. You look great. Fantastic.
Thank you. This is why we're friends.
Exactly. But no, you really do look phenomenal. But that's it. You keep yourself in great shape. You're like attuned to, you know, trying to look the best you can. And, you know, it's very interesting to me when I talk to patients that are really, you know, they're just trying to stay ahead of the curve, or they're just trying to make sure that they can look as good as they can for the age that they are. Jani, I know you'll believe me when I tell you this, but I can't think of anyone who I've seen over the past few years that would come in and say, look, I'm like 55 and I really want to look like I'm 25. Like, no one comes in and says that. I think that's like the misconception, that you have these crazy people that may be trying to come in and get plastic surgery. But honest to God, that may be who, you know, you highlight when you're trying to be extreme about something. But when you're talking about the everyday situations, that's just not what happens. People want to look as good as they can at the age that they are.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a caller on the phone right now. Anfante, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining in. What would you like to talk about?
No problem. Yeah, loving the show. So I wanted to ask you about, well, two questions, really quick ones. First, a long time ago, I worked for a company called CryoSave, and they were doing some really interesting things with cryopreservation of edible cells for future use in plastic surgery. And it just leads me to question you as to what you think, in your professional opinion, you know, some of the more radical, well, not necessarily radical, but, you know, just technique in general, plastic surgery will be seen within the next maybe like, you know, 20, 30 years. I'm asking to put on your future Prescott hat.
Well, that's a great question. It's fun to think about too, but I can tell you, Amphite, one of the things that you would never in a million years think that really happens is stem cells. I'm telling you, stem cells are going to be the next really exciting thing in plastic surgery. It is now being used. It is being studied. And we're doing a lot of different things with it. I know VA and certain organizations really can't come out and claim exactly how we can utilize it to cure things. But I can tell you, when I'm doing facelifts and I'm doing various procedures like that now, I'm using this protein-rich plasma, if you will, that contains stem cells, and it's allowing the surgery to go smoother. It allows the recovery to be done quicker, and it's actually feeding your own tissues to be more youthful. Jenny, have you heard about this stuff before?
I haven't. This is, no.
It's incredible. You know, we know that stem cells, we know that stem cells can be obtained, you know, from our body in a bone, from blood, and from fat. And interestingly enough, the highest percentage of those cells are coming from fat. So we can literally do some liposuctioning, take those fat cells, and literally extract the things we don't want to use in that fat. But then we can cultivate those cells, Amphite, like you're saying, and utilize those cells as a what we would call a pluripotential cell. This sounds kind of very over-the-top information, but it's a cell that has various channels that can take off. And one of the ways that we want to use that is in stem cells and in, you know, growing things and making things more youthful. So I think, to answer your question, that's where I think the direction of plastic surgery is going for the future. And
It sounds like it's something out of a sci-fi movie.
It really does. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I was going to say a similar thing in the sense that, you know, it does sound very science fictionally. I know that's not a real word, but I think, and this leads kind of into the second question. And by the way, you know, as you know, human beings, we tend to fear things we don't understand. And because this is somewhat new to the general public, it kind of gets scary. You know, you hear politicians talking about stem cell research and
absolutely,
all this kind of stuff. So, you know, but I think I totally agree with you that, you know, once the science pans out, well, it's already panning out, but once it, you know, becomes a little bit more accepted, I think, you know, within the next 30 years, we'll see that be more common.
Absolutely.
And the second question I had, and I'll take this answer off the air because I got my daughter on my shoulder. She's about to cry and ruin this.
No, go ahead. Tell me. But, what's the question?
The second question is, what are some of the wildest and strangest requests that you've gotten personally in your practice or, you know, procedures?
So well, thank Anthony. Anthony, thank you very much for the call. That's a great that's a great discussion. But you know what? I think we're going to table that for its own show because that is actually, Jenny, so much fun to talk about when you really hear. Again, these are going to be the extremes of plastic surgery. So I was talking about what the main focus has been. One day, Jenny, that's one of the things I think we do have to do a show about all the crazy type things that people have come in and asked about.
Absolutely. I want to hear about it. It sounds like it's way better.
Yeah, it's a very fun thing to talk about. But listen, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, Jenny. It's always great
thank
to talk
you.
With you and to share some insights into things and trends. And, you know, thank you so much. And for everyone that was listening, you have been enjoying the Plastic Surgery Revolution show. And I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis. I look forward to being with you again next week. And for now, take care, and remember, we can do great things together. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.